through it, but they had this big backpack on, and it was filled with my school books. So who knows, that's heavy. Theology is heavy, okay? It's all in there. And they had to run this race. They had to run through the obstacle course with the baggage. And the last person on the team had a padlock, and that person then went into the mud pit and pulled out the key of freedom to unlock themselves. So we had to, you know, make it fun for you. Obviously, there's mud. All right, but it was fun, and it was a point not only for, it wasn't just for the game, but it was a point to make that we run the race, okay? We run the race in life, but some of us do it with some extra baggage. So Paul, the apostle, referred to life like a race in Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. I want to ask you a couple questions. Do you feel fulfilled? Do you believe? Now, I know you know what the right answer should be, but do you believe that you are absolutely loved by the Creator God? Do you feel like you're a part of something greater? Do you feel like the things you go to comfort you control you more than you control them? When we think about these questions for real, we can see that sometimes we might run the race for God. And I'm not going to say you're not, but we do it with baggage. We can do it by picking up some weights we were never meant to carry. And we can run the race for God and we can give him everything we have. We can minister, we can evangelize, we can serve in ministry, but we might have a backpack filled with hurt that we didn't let God come in and heal. And so I want to encourage you this morning as we go through these things to allow God to speak into your heart, because we each have something. I believe we do. As I learned about this, God worked through things in me. So I know we all have something that God wants us to run the race completely free, because I tell you this, it is so much easier to run the race without the weight. It is so much easier. So we, after the kids did that, we had the message, we sent a student through the race without any weight. And they did it in like a couple seconds. They ran through that mud pit. They ran through all of it. And they came back and they said, that was easy. What was once hard and what was grueling and difficult became a breeze. And so in our life, as Paul relates our life to a race, let's drop those unnecessary weights off. So if you're taking notes, the first point is we can run the race and still carry unnecessary weight. So what is baggage? I'm going to share three of those with you. What are the types of baggage? There's a lot of them, but the three that stuck out to me was, number one, incorrect ways of thinking and believing the lies of the enemy. If you could look up in your Bibles with me, Romans 8:9, we're going to go ahead and go through that. But have you ever felt that before? The enemy tries to plant lies in our mind to believe that we're not good enough, that we're worthless, unworthy, that we're not talented enough, that we're not, that we're messed up, that we're a failure. Has anyone ever felt one of those things before? Okay, I'm not alone, okay? So that's good to know. So there's a lot of things the enemy tries to attack our mind in. And it's, he says that we are all these things, when in reality, God says that is not who you are. You are my child. You are more than qualified because my mark is on you. So it's important that we drop off that weight and we start to think of ourselves the way Christ sees us. We see that so much in examples and stories in the Bible where God wanted to use someone and they're like, no, I'm not qualified enough. If you just knew what I have done. But he says, go ahead and start to see yourself the way I see you. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, it's one thing to think those things. It's one thing to feel messed up. It's one thing to feel unworthy, but you can feel it. Did you let it become a burden? Did you let it define you? Because Jesus is the one who defines you, not those things. The second one, another type of baggage, is addiction. So we're going to go ahead and read Romans now, if you're there. Romans 8. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Here's the key part. The Spirit of God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. We'll get back to that later. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies and by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who have been led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That is such a powerful scripture. I think we spent an entire series on that in youth group. So real quick, I'm just going to tell you the heart of that. You do not have to be bound to that sinful addiction or whatever it is that you go to. Okay, and that can be a lot of different things. You know what they are, so I don't need to call that out. But you don't have to be bound to that. The Bible says you're under no obligation. It might feel like that's your only way out, but you're not under obligation because the very same God that raised Jesus from the dead is inside you. So if you would realize that, you would grasp onto his power, not your power, and you would be free. Amen? Now, I know it's hard to drop those things. It is no easy task, but it first starts in the mind. Every sin that was ever committed first was thought. So if you start to think on what God has said about you, you would start to believe that he can set you free. Amen? The next thing is the point number three, the whys, not the hows, and types of baggage. The whys, not the hows. What if what you're going through does have a purpose and you don't see it yet? No one likes this one. It's okay. I've learned this one. I feel like I'm still learning it. But see, no one said it was going to be easy. And it's time to start asking God, what am I supposed to learn? Instead of why did it happen? I think Kristen's testimony is so powerful because she started to think to herself, I don't have the answers, I don't have all the solutions, but I know that Jesus is the one who is my king. And no matter what happens, he is on the throne. And so that's our mindset. Look, I don't know how you got here. I don't know why this is happening. I don't have an answer, but I do have the answer that God will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. That scripture that says he's never failed and he won't start now is true. He has never failed. It might feel like it sometimes because it didn't happen the way you thought it would happen, or it didn't happen in the time frame you thought it would happen, but God will not fail you. Amen? Amen. All right, so start asking God, what is it we're supposed to learn? No one ever said faith was easy. I want to share with you a personal story. So I've really been learning this a lot, especially in ministry, because you have to rely on God far more beyond what you ever expected really fast. So not that you don't do that in life, but it magnifies because now you got a whole youth group that you're accountable for. And so I was married. It was not that long ago. We planned this big event, and it was far away. And I had all these rides planned out. I had my drivers, I had my car list, I was together, I had it organized, right? Well, all that just got wiped out, and all those people that I had planned to help me with this were not able to. And so it's, 2 days before this event, and I'm like, all right, that's all right. My faith is engaged. I'm calling people, I'm texting people, God will make a way. Nobody answers. And I'm like, oh, man, okay. So I keep calling other people. And, it's kind of a short list because it does have to be people that the parents know that they're going to be comfortable driving them. So I keep trying. And everyone who answers me, sorry, I can't. Oh, I'd love to, but I got this. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, Lord, I need you to come through. And I start getting really irritated, and I'm super stressed out. And John just kind of chuckles, and he goes, why are you stressed out? Like, I don't think you understand. I don't have anybody to drive them. What do you mean, why am I stressed out? And he said, well, God has never failed you, not one time. I see him come through for you all the time, so why are you stressed out? And I'm like, oh, why do you have to say that? And I was like, I know he's never failed me, but this was my reply, which is funnier. I said, but he's cutting it super close this time. That's what I said. I said, normally he's made a way, it's good, and I'm on the praise street already. I go, but now it's 24 hours to the event, and it's midnight, and I can't sleep because I still don't have anybody to drive these kids. And so the Lord said to me, go to bed. And I thought, wow, okay. That wasn't the answer I wanted. And so I went to sleep, and I had to just put it in God's hands, and that was hard for me because normally by this point he's come through. So it wasn't the time frame I was expecting. But you know what? I woke up that morning with texts off the wazoo of all the people that could drive the kids. So God made a way. And you know what? I shouldn't have got all bent out of shape about it. But sometimes God provides and he comes through for us, but it's not in our time frame. Amen? It's not going to always be the way we want it to be. And whoever said we learned the lesson the first time. Sometimes we keep saying, God, why? And he's like, I thought you learned already. Here's another one. All right? So sometimes we don't learn it the first time. And even though God had come through for me for so many different ways, it was a new facet. What if it's not in your time frame? Okay? So the Lord wants us to grow in those areas too. So stop asking God, why? How can I learn? All right, so Pastor Tom, I just want to share this, spoke a few weeks ago about the fiery furnace. And he talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I think this really stuck out for me. I was sitting in the back and I was listening, and God dropped this in my mind about the timing. Now, this is a great story, and I'm sure these men walked in tremendous faith. But if that were me, and if I was standing there, and I decided I'm going to serve God and I'm not going to bow down to this idol, I would be expecting God to move. Now, who would expect him to move at about the time they started reaching for the furnace door? All right. Who would expect God to move after those guys died opening the furnace door? Who would expect God to move when they're bringing you into the flames? All right. That's terrifying. I'm not saying they didn't have faith, but gosh, don't you think they thought, God, where are you at? They were in the flames. And that's when God came through. He came through, they lived, but boy, what an amazing sense of time. I would have not planned that. That would have not been my viewpoint of saving me, all right? So let's start to believe that God's got it all under control, amen? He knows what he's doing. The next point, for the actual point number two, if you're taking notes, is freedom has a cost. Freedom has a cost, just like the people who died for our country to defend it paid their life. All right, we honor those people. I have friends that have served, but they paid a price, and Jesus paid a price for you. So freedom is already yours. All you have to do is embrace it. But here's the thing, there's a key part to this. We have to let those things that we went to no longer control us. Remember in Romans it said, be dead to sin and alive in Christ. You're no longer under this obligation anymore. You can be free. So John 5:3-9 says this. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. This is the heart of the message today. If you don't take anything else away from it, I hope you take this. God is saying, do you want to be free? Do you want to get well? Why did he ask him that? I felt like when I was in the most darkest time of my life and I had never experienced so much frustration before, I cried out to God and I said, God, I didn't ask for this. How did I get here? I didn't pick it. Sometimes things happen to us and we tack on burdens we never asked for. And I don't know how they got there, but it's time to let them go. And he said to me, the Spirit of God said, do you want to be free? Why would you ask that of me? Of course I want to be free. And he said, the Spirit of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. And if you would realize that, you would accept that freedom. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. I got up, I picked up my mat and walked. And just like this Bible story, this man walked and he chose to lay down that which once bound him. He picked it up. God said, get up. He, by faith, believed that God is going to heal me. He didn't know for sure. He didn't have it figured out, but by faith, he stood up. And the next part was, take your mat. The very thing that once bound you, the very thing that you once went to and were addicted to, you were stuck in those old mindsets, will be the very thing that you carry. And you say, God set me free from this. Has anyone ever been set free from something? Who shared that with somebody? So that very same thing that God wants to free you from, that you have been freed from, you can carry and you can share with other people. Because I'll bet you, or I know, because it says in the Bible that he was walking around and people said, didn't you used to be lame? Didn't you used to be laying by the side of the pool? Hey, you've been there for 38 years. We see you every day we walk by. And he said, Jesus healed me. He carried that. He wasn't ashamed. He was able to say, Jesus has set me free. And he was able to carry that with him. So sometimes it might not be easy. But the truth is, no matter what it is we battle, if it's our mindsets, if it's how we view ourselves, if we cannot believe that God could ever truly restore those broken hurts, whatever that is, our broken hearts, God can. He wants to. And if we don't embrace that freedom, it's going to affect us at some point. It might not affect you now, but it will affect you later. And it will affect your future. And so I encourage you to let God come in. And it's not easy. Sometimes it hurts. And I want to share a story with you. I shared this at Youth Blowout. When I was 12 years old, I went to youth camp. And I got blobbed. Has anyone ever seen a giant blob before in the water? Okay, super fun. If you don't know what it is, I'm sure you're trying to picture it. It's a giant inflatable in the water. Okay? And I went up there with my friend, who was also about yay high, because we were 12. And the one person jumps on, and you crawl to the edge, and the other person jumps, right? Well, they thought it would be funny to put the rather large man in front of my friend to blob me. Now, I didn't know that was happening, so I'm on the edge, and then I'm like, woo, and I went flying. And I'm like, that was not my little friend. And I went super deep into the water. And as I came up out of the water, what I didn't know had happened was a huge rock had gone into my heel. Ooh, yeah, I know, super gross. It wouldn't be youth service without a gross story. I'm sorry. So it goes into my heel, right? And I don't even know what's there. I'm just working through the fact that I just got blobbed. And I'm walking around, and I think we're on our way to ride horses or something, and I'm like, man, my foot hurts. And I look, and there is a rock this big. It's like the size of my heel. And I'm like, oh, man, how'd that happen? And I couldn't get it out. So now I know it's a problem. So my friends are like, well, we got to go to the nurse. So they take me to the nurse, and I'm sitting there, and she's got my foot up there. And she goes, okay, we're going to have to take it out. It's going to hurt. I don't take joy in this. And I'm like, well, you know what? And so I start to, like, try to convince this woman that she can just leave it there. And I'm like, you know what? You're probably busy. It's going to fall out. It's going to fall. Don't even worry about it. I'm going to go horseback riding, stick a Band-Aid on it. I'm fine. And she's like, no, it's coming out. And I'm like, no. I don't think you understand how much that's going to hurt. And so she takes it out, and I screamed, like, to another octave. But it was the good kind of pain, and it came out. And, I had to limp the rest of the way through camp, but it was gone. Now, what would have happened if it stayed there? Infection. If it's completely permanently stayed there, you could probably lose your foot, all right? So why do we let hurt stay in here when it's going to just cause infection? So the Lord desires that we clean those things out, because sooner or later, it will come back. We can't just push it down. The Lord desires to heal it so it's just a memory, not a hurtful one. And when the Lord comes in and does that, and that restoration process is complete, we can then say, yeah, it's a scar, but look what God has done in me. That's your mat that you pick up and you carry and you show the world. Amen? In closing, I want to say this. Lastly, and do you want to be free? Point number three is freedom brings joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. If you have been truly set free, the joy of the Lord is with you. And nobody can say anything else about it. When people just walk up to you and they say, why are you happy? That's different. Something's different about you. Why are you happy? And they might know your situation, but you can say, because God has set me free. Because God is on the throne. And you know what? I don't have all the answers, and I don't know how you got here, but I do know that God can free you. And I do know that he desires to. And when you walk in that, the freedom and that joy will be just uncontainable. You'll run up to this altar and you'll lift both hands and you'll say, God, I am free. I like to look at this altar as a place to drop off and pick up. Drop off the burden and pick up his joy. run up here. I never judge anyone who runs up here. I'm like the first one, okay? Because God desires that we engage in that. That's what he desired for us. So you might not feel it just yet, but I want to say this to you. Just keep walking, because freedom is here, and the very same God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead does live inside of each one of you. And you might not see a way out just yet, but if you embrace that, if you believe that, then you can be free, because all it took for me was to get up and to believe that God would set me free, and that's all it took. That's all it took, and all of a sudden my mindset changed, and I thought, you know what, I don't know the answer, and I can't understand it, but I know that I am free, and I want to learn what God has for me to learn. In closing, 1 Peter 1:9, 1:8 through 9 says this: though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Who's ever felt like you don't know where God's at? And you're like, God, I cry out, where are you? It's nothing. Where's he at? I felt that. But it says, if you believe in him, you are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Paul said, we run the race with perseverance. You will receive the end result of your faith as you believe him. You will experience the freedom and the joy of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now, the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. There is freedom. He lives in each one of you. If you've asked him into your heart, you are free. If you could bow